Okay, so today is the 13th of September, 2018, the 4th of Tishrei, Tufshin Ayin Tes, and we are in Halacha Day of the first Parak of Bamidbar, and the most obvious Halacha Day is to talk about counting Jews. There is some type of Halacha out there that we know, there's some issue about counting Jews out there, right? There's something wrong. It perhaps is most recognizable. Us? With
a minion.
With a minion, right. How do we know if there's some kind of prohibition of counting Jews? And so therefore, how are we supposed to know if there's a minion present? So one is to say, well, the room is full, so we have a minion, right? At Slichos at 5:55 this morning, that wouldn't have sufficed. It was not going to be a full room. So how are we going to count whether we're going to have a group? So the minig is to count, use a pasuk. That is a pasuk of Shias HaMechad. It has 10 words in it. So each person is assigned a name. If I get to the end of the pasuk, so then I know that we've completed. Truth is that even a good idea? There is a story of a rabbi who is having trouble with his congregants. So when he comes in, he starts counting for the minion. He says, Dan, Tzvardeya, Kinem, Arov. But, okay. Not me. Chas v'shalom. So where does all that come from? So it comes sort of from this. I checked to see if we maybe did this topic when we learned Parshas Ki Tisa, now a year and a half ago or so. And I checked my YU Torah records, and apparently I didn't put any Halacha Day on for that Parsha. I don't know, somehow it didn't make the upload list. So don't know, we might have covered a year and a half ago. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But much discussion here really goes back to an article that was published by Rabbi Bleich in Contemporary Halacha Problems, Volume 3. And it, much of the discussion has to do with the Israeli census of 1983, right? Besides counting for a minion, you also had to count the entire Jewish people. Now, they had done census, I'm sure the plural is of censuses. So they had done them before. But, sometimes things go on in the Israeli community, and then it sort of becomes a major halachic issue. It had been discussed. He does quote here. Rabbi Bleich is amazing. He just quotes anything and everything that's out there, at least up to that point. This was published already probably 25 years ago. December 1988. So we're going back a pretty far way in terms of when this was published. But, anything that was quoted after this, certainly in English, is going back, is the starting point is his article. So he does quote here from Rav Isser Yehuda Interman. Rav Interman was, I believe, the second chief rabbi of Israel following Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog, he was asked about this, the chief rabbi was asked, what do you think? Should people be participating in the Israeli census? And he said, most authorities would assume that it's okay. And that was sort of assumed. But there is, of course, there is a Haredi community in Israel that it's unclear what happened until that point, but they certainly began raising objections for the census of 1983 about whether they would participate or not. So what are some of the, what is the issue? What is the issue with counting Jews? So we didn't see it here. Here it's just Moshe being told you're going to count the Jewish people. Where did we see yesterday, if you learned through the Mefarshim, the problem? Where did it come up? So the Ramban discusses it in the context of David HaMelech. The David HaMelech did a count, and he was punished for it. Mm-hmm. Now the Gemara, not just him, but the people that were counted also, which is an interesting thing. I mean, it's not just an issue about the counter, it's also perhaps an issue for the county.
The passive agreement?
What? If you're amongst those that are counted, it could be a problem for you. Why would that be? Why? You didn't do anything wrong. Right. So what is the nature of the prohibition? Could very well be the nature of the prohibition has to do with Ayin Hara. In fact, Rashi makes that comment in Parshas Ki Tisa, that in Parshas Ki Tisa, when Moshe is told you should collect a half a shekel from each individual, Rashi makes a comment there in order to avoid the Ayin Hara. What does the Ayin Hara have to do with accounting? Because if you're going to count them as a group, so then the group will have the merits of the group together. If you're going to count individually, person by person by person, so then it's each, then it's a group of individuals. It's no longer a mass of people. It is now 600,000 individuals, so each individual is now subject to their own devices with regards to the Ayin Hara. That seems to be what Rashi is saying, and that is the concern. So therefore, even though there might be the prohibition on the counter, the person who will suffer the consequences could very well be the county. So that this discussion, the counting in Bamidbar and the counting in Shmos that took place, that is sort of sort of ground zero for this is really two Gemaras that seem to be quoting this from two different sources. So the Gemara that quotes this idea happens to be the one having to do with David HaMelech. It appears towards the very end of Maseches Brachos, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. It already, I saw in Samach Beis Amud Aleph, it says Tosos signs off it's Samach Beis Amud Aleph, and there's a couple of Dafim left that don't have Tosos on it. But the Gemara makes a comment that following the story when David HaMelech was being chased by Shaul, and Shaul went to defecate in a cave, and David snuck up behind him and cut off his... Someone's sending out a distress signal? And Shaul goes in this cave, and David cuts, rather than kill, David sneaks up on him, rather than kill Shaul, cuts off his cloak. There's a lot of interesting things about that. I think we've maybe spoken about it in the past. We'll get up to it soon in the Navi Shir, either soon in the next couple months or soon in like a year from now, because we'll be taking off from the Navi Shir soon. But anyways, the Pasuk says that he came and cut off the corner of Shaul's cloak. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina comments, Hamavaz es habagadim sof eino nana mahem, that somebody who dishonors clothing will not have benefit from them, and that's why David, when he got older, could not stay warm by way of clothing, and needed the Isha Hashunam, needed the woman to help him. So then the Gemara says, oh, I got another thing also having to do with David HaMelech, that the Pasuk tells us in Shmuel, that Im Hashem hisischak yirach mincha, that Hashem incited you against me, let him accept as an offering my prayer to avert your wrath. I mean, that's what David says. So, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Leak, meaning, again, what was the Pasuk? Hashem incited you against me, hisischa. So hisischa, so there is a prohibition in the Torah, I'm not sure if we spoke about it here or not, I forget if it's in Devarim, I guess it's in Devarim, the issue of being a mesis, somebody who convinces others to violate Avodah Zarah. So that's like a really bad thing. That's amongst the, what? That's amongst like the four really, really big ones. That's where he's hanged outside and he's, everybody, letters go out to everybody, see the mesis, etc. So that's like a really bad thing. So the Pasuk is saying, David said to Shaul, Hashem incited you, Hashem was a mesis to get you to come after me. So Hashem didn't like being called a mesis. That was like not, he didn't like that term. So Rabbi said, I'm only a Kadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid, mesis karisa, you call me a mesis? Harei ani machshilcha bedavar shafilu tinokel shel beis rabban yodin oso. That I'm going to cause you to stumble in something that even children know about. Dechsev, as the Pasuk says, kitisas rosh b'nei sov ku dehem menasnu ish kofar nafsho. That when you're going to take account of the Jewish people, let everybody give a kofar, let everybody give an atonement, let everybody give their half shekel. And every child knows that. I had a Rebbe in 10th grade who, whenever he wanted to prove a point, he was a pretty tough Rebbe, famous Rebbe Dulitz from MTA. So whenever he would ask a question, what, you don't know? Every child of four knows this answer to this question. That's what Hashem says. Every child knows this, you're going to fall. So miyad v'yamut satan al Yisrael, and immediately Hashem, rose the incitor against Israel. Uksiv v'nosis v'yosis estavet behem limor al-manas Yisrael. And he inside David concerning, he says, go count them. When he counted them, he didn't take a kofar. And it says that Hashem put a plague on Israel from morning until night. What does that mean, by the way? It means that it wasn't just David who got punished, but the Israel, the Jews, got punished because David had counted them inappropriately. So there is a little discussion here, really. So all these people suffered just because of David. No, well, they had other things that they had done wrong. But anyways, that's the comment that is that David makes. Yeah?
Are you assuming that they agreed with the count? They should have protested.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. They should protest it. And there's an art school footnote here that the Ben Yehoyada explains that Jews were not being punished for David's sin, but had committed sin of their own for which they deserved to be chastised. Nevertheless, their suffering represented a penalty for King David since it came through him. So they were going to be punished anyways, but it came through David, and therefore David is held responsible for it, so to speak. But anyway, so what is that? That's a clear, David should have learned the pasuk from Ki Tisa, right, about not counting, only counting Jews with a machzor shekel. That's sort of section A. section B about learning the din is brought up in Maseches Yuma and then quoted the halacha by the Rambam. So Maseches Yuma talks about, Maseches Yuma is all about Yom Kippur, right? So I think that's a day that's coming up called Yom Kippur, right? So we could have our fulfillment of learning about the avodah and Yom Kippur. So what is the thing? Maybe you've covered this in your Mishnah's learning, that when they needed to choose lots for people to do things in the Beis HaMikdash, what did they do? The Gemara in Yuma tells us they used to play. They used to play a game that my kids play. How would they choose who it was? They'd play 21st finger is it, right? Everybody would put in the finger, and the cohen and the person in charge would count the fingers around. You could either put in one or two fingers, right? No thumbsies. Thumbs wouldn't count, the Gemara says, because then you could like kind of cheat and say, oh, the thumb is in or out based on what's going on. And that's how they would figure out who would get to do the various avodas. So the Gemara comments, why don't they just count the Kohanim, right? Why do they count fingers? Why do they count the Kohanim? Now I would have said, well, because this way you have a choice of putting in one or two fingers, right? Otherwise everyone would try to get to the 21st spot. But not necessarily how it works, right? That the Kohen Gadol, whoever was going to choose them would come up with a number and then count there. So good. So why just count people? So Rabbi Yitzchak says, no. Because Aser Limnos Es Yisrael, Afilu Ledvar Mitzvah. It is prohibited to count the Jewish people even for a Dvar Mitzvah, as the Pasuk tells us. Now, I would have expected to say the Pasuk from Kitisa, when you count the Jewish people, right? It says, no. Vayifkedem Bavezek, that he counted them through Bezek. What does that mean? What is Bezek? So the Gemara translates it as being shards. What is it? This is already a pasuk in Navi. This is late. This is the story of Shaul, when Shaul was still in our good graces. That Shaul needed to count the Jewish people in order to prepare them for war. So, in order to count the amount of soldiers there, he had all the soldiers put in a piece of pottery, and then he counted the piece of pottery and knew how many soldiers were going to be there. So he says, "Aha." Right? We see Shaul did that. Shaul, rather than counting the Jews directly, he counted the pottery pieces. And therefore we see that there's and that's the basis for there being a prohibition of counting Jews directly. So the Gemara says, Maski flor Ravashi mi mai dehai bezek. He says, well, wait a second. That's not what bezek means necessarily, shattered pieces of pottery, right? Maybe it's just the name of a place. And in fact, I'll prove to you that there was this place called Bezek. And the truth is, if you look in the Pasuk, that seems to be the simple explanation. In fact, the art scroll Tanakh translates it as he counted them in Bezek, not counted them by their pottery pieces. So Elamehacha, rather, Ravashi says, this is with a source for it, Vaishma Sha'ul Asam, Vaifkadim Batlaim. That Shaul had called the people summoning, and he counted them through lamps. That pasuk appears a little bit later, four, five prakim later. It's in preparation for a different battle that he had. This battle, the first battle, I think, was against Ammon. The second one was against the Amalek. So rather than counting, he had them all bring a lamb, and he counted the lambs, and therefore he counted that. So there you see that that Shaul also wouldn't count the Jewish people directly, but rather counted them by their donation of a certain object. Okay, good so far? Gemara and Brachos seems to learn out from one source, the source of Hashem instructing about the Machzis HaShekel, the half-shekel piece, while the Gemara and Yuma seems to learn out from these stories about Shaul. What is a stronger source? The Gemara and Brachos learning out from the story in the Torah, or the Gemara in Yuma learning it out from Shaul Brachos? Why? Torah, right. In fact, it's a kasha on Maseches Yuma. Why are you learning it out from this far-fetched story in Shmuel, right? It seems to be a Beferish Pasuk. Not just a Beferish Pasuk, but a Pasuk for which the Torah, the Gemara testifies that every child of two knows that Pasuk. So why are you, maybe David could say, what do you mean? I learned Maseches Yuma. I don't learn Maseches Brachos. What's going on here? So the Meforshim on the Marsha explains that he didn't, why does the Gemara in Yuma teach you from the Pasuk in Shmos? Because it could be that the pasuk in Shmos might have only been a horas shah. It might have been a one-time deal. I mean, when Hashem told Moshe, right, there's a dual purpose to collecting the Machzis HaShekel in the beginning of Kitisa. Right, one was to count the Jewish people, and the second one was to raise money, right? There's a fundraising issue, so you need to make money. So maybe if you don't have a need to make money, maybe there's no reason to count by the Masa Shekel. Maybe you could just count person by person. Maybe that was Horasha. The Marsha, I don't think, gives that whole shot. That was just me adding in. There's another possibility that the Iyun Yaakov suggests that even that this is teaching you an additional level of explanation, because in Pasuk, in the Pasuk in Shmos, there was it was just Hashem told Moshe to go and count the Jewish people. Was there a purpose to it? It's unclear what exactly was the purpose, other than maybe raising money for the Mishkan. Here there was a purpose. So this is teaching an additional thing, that even if it's Letzorach Mitzvah, it's still Asur to count the Jewish people. I mean, I would say, oh, I'm counting them for a minion. There's no problem with me counting them for a minion. That's a Letzorach Mitzvah. Wrong, right? It's still going to be a problem to count them for even Letzorach Mitzvah, as learned out from Maseches Yuma, according to some. There are some additional, there's another pasuk as well that some quote as being the source of this prohibition. That's the beginning of Hosea, which might be more recognizable from us earlier. There is a bracha that the Jewish people are going to be like the sand of the sand by the sea. I mean, sand by the sea meaning non-countable. So if you would have asked me, I would have said that. Right, so it's repeated as a bracha, or the pasuk in Hosea. By Avram, it's a bracha there. I think it's more clear of these are people that are uncountable. So why are they uncountable? So I would have said that they are, that that's just a metzius. I mean, the reality is that they're uncountable. But some understand that as being a prohibition. You're not allowed to count them because it is a violation of the bracha that was given. Okay, so with taking that into account, so what do we have so far? We have a prohibition already from the pasuk in Shmos. We said maybe that's only a horasha. Therefore, we see later on that it is letzorach mitzvah. If it's for the purpose of the mitzvah, so then it's okay. As for purpose of mitzvah or purpose, right? Well, what is the what's going on there? So there is a Ramban. We learned the Ramban yesterday, but there's actually a previous Ramban where the Ramban seems to say something completely different. The Ramban in Shmos, right? The Ramban in Shmos also comments, why did David sin, right? David sinned with this census. He did something wrong. What did he do wrong? And the Ramban says, well, the Gemara seems to say itself pretty clearly that they gave, that rather than counting them by shkalim, it counted them by name. And that was the thing that David had done wrong. So that's Ramban number one. So what would be the halachic implication of that? If you were just based on that Ramban, if I learn Ramban and Shmos, right, I could say, yeah, as long as I'm not counting the person directly, it's going to be okay. Right? That's what comes out from that Ramban. The problem is Ramban number two, the Ramban that we learned yesterday, he doesn't quote himself from a book and a half earlier. What does he say? The Ramban says, it can't be that David HaMelech didn't collect Maksa Shekel. That's a Beferish Pasuk. Now, the Gemara itself says that David messed up. But he said, no, it can't be that David did that. David, obviously, we know that it's a Pasuk. And even if he didn't know it was a Pasuk, his assistants would have been able to help him, right? It can't be that's it. Rather, his issue was one of two things the Ramban yesterday said. Number one, that there was no purpose to it. And number two, that he counted everyone, that he counted all men above the age of 13. That was the Ramban's problem, right? The Moshe only counted from 20 and up. He should, and David counted everybody from 13 and up. Now, I made the har yesterday, and I think this is right. He's not necessarily giving two separate reasons. I mean, the purpose of counting people from 20 and up is to prepare them for battle. Because only for people 20 and up, they're the ones that are supposed to be drafted for battle. To count people from 13 indicates that there's not a purpose. You're just counting it to know the number of people that are out there. But what is it's bringing it now to the modern day? Why do governments take censuses, right? Why do governments do that, right? So Israel does want to know how many soldiers they will be having. I mean, that is an important thing in Israel. But there's other things as well that you need to take census for, like what? Electoral college. What? Electoral college. Okay. What else? Welfare, okay, right, to know, is a big issue I saw about, are we going to count illegal, undocumented workers? Are they going to be counted, undocumented immigrants, people, right? Are we going to count them for the census or not, right? Because states, southern states, would like to count them, because then they would get more money to help for that population. But how are you going to count them, etc.? Anyways, but just in general, you know, how much infrastructure is necessary for various places? How many children? We might know how many people are registered to vote in certain places, but we don't know how many children they have in those places. And that, you know, children may not get a chance to vote, but they do have the opportunity to flush toilets and things like that. And it is important to know how many people live in various areas of the country, certainly in places like Israel, where there is a real lack of resources, and there is the infrastructure demands for Israel in various places is very large and requires certain types of innovation. I read over the summer, at least I got halfway through it, and I have to give it back to my in-laws, but the book Let There Be Water, have you seen this book? Oh, Sam, you got to read this book. It's a real engineering book. It's about how Israel has dealt with their water issues over the years. So that's a small part of it. It talks about the drip irrigation. Like, drip irrigation, I always looked at it like, what's the big deal? Like, why didn't anyone else think about that? But the amount, it's incredible. Like and it's also fascinating about how, you know, the forcing what Israel did at one point was they took away the water subsidies for farmers. So you're going to pay for all your water, which pretty much forced them to go with innovations that are out there, and that has dramatically increased or really decreased the amount of water usage. So anyways, so let there be water. So those are important things that are supposed to be known. So perhaps that then gives room for there to be... for it to be permissible. There's one more shita that is out there, and that is by the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that the issue is to get an exact count. As long as it's still an approximate count, he seems to be more willing to go along with it. So how do things fall out, at least when I applied for this article? I didn't get a chance to look at anything that has been developed more recently, but the most there's two prominent people, things ran out. One is there's a Chuva from the Sri D'Esh. Sri D'Esh was written by his mother, didn't call him the Sri D'Esh, who was his Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg. He did not live in Eretz Yisrael. He is a fascinating individual. He was actually Rav Aaron Cutler's Chavrusa when they were in yeshiva together. Survived the war, I believe, by heading to Switzerland and ended up in Switzerland. He was a Rav in Switzerland for, I think he died in the 70s. He had an unfortunate marriage where he was sort of put in like sort of like a forced marriage where he couldn't get along with her, and ended up divorcing her, at least living separately from her for many, many years. He was a Rav in, was a major posek, lived in the, I forget when he died, but he lived in Switzerland and was also a professor in the university there. So Mark Shapiro wrote his dissertation, I believe, on Chil Yaakov Weinberg, and the book that he wrote, he published a book entitled Between the Yeshiva World and Modernity, I think is the name of the book. Really a very interesting individual, and with a lot of very important psakim that really be held today. So he said that it's mutter, based on these reasonings that we said, that you're not counting people direct. When you count the census, how do you count them? Are you counting individuals? Exactly. How are you counting people when you count the census? Yeah, but the person counting, meaning the one who's going to produce the number, right? What is he counting? Ballots, right? He's counting pieces of paper, or he's counting names on a piece of paper. He's not counting individuals. So A, you're counting indirectly, claim the Sri D'Esh, and B, there's a purpose. The purpose of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There's a purpose whether it's a mitzvah or not. But even if you want to say, oh, it's not really a mitzvah, but okay, but there's still a purpose to it. You're not just counting just for your own self-aggrandizement, which seems to be the criticism that was laid by David. Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher, who wrote the Torah Shleim, he collected and wrote, published this svarim called the Torah Shleim, available in our library here, and then in the back of the where he collected anything in Torah Shebal Peh, any medrash or gemara, anything connected to a pasuk, so he put it together, much more extensive than the Torah Tamima, and also has a bunch of essays in it as well. So he points out that we know that in Sefer Shmos, right? How are the Jews counted? By the Machzor Shekel. How are the Jews counted in Bamidbar? Yeah. Each family brought names, as the Pasuk tells us. What does Pasuk B say? Right, so we sort of had an assumption that they produced the Machzeh Shekel. But it doesn't say it in the Pasuk. In fact, in the Pasuk it says, Su'u es rosh kol das b'nei Yisrael l'mishpichu sam l'veisavu sam b'mispar shemos, according to the number of their names. So rather than counting them directly, if you're counting the names, that should be okay. Right? And that was his addition to the thing, and apparently the Netziv in his pshat on these on this pasuk points out the same thing. Counting the names is going to be okay. So the list of those that are against, surprisingly, was Rav Shlomo Goren. Rav Shlomo Goren was the chief rabbi of Israel, I guess, at the time, in 83. What? He was the chief rabbi of the IDF during the 67 and 73. He became chief rabbi of Israel in the 70s. I forget the exact year. He was the chief rabbi for when the Langer affair took place, which I think was... I don't remember the years, but he published something. He had a problem with the Israeli census, surprisingly. He said that if you're counting pieces of paper, right, it's okay. The problem is you're not counting pieces of paper. Each piece of paper has a certain number of names on it. So you are counting the names. Now, he doesn't, I don't know what he does with the Mispar Shemos, the number of names, which seems to be what Moshe counted, but he says that that's a problem. If each individual handed in their own piece of paper and you counted pieces of paper, that would be okay. But once you're counting number of names on a piece of paper, you're now counting individuals, you're no longer counting, it's no longer like giving in the shards. That was one of his issues. What?
Bringing them to an accounting.
And the fear, yeah, I hear. Okay, I mean that's a question of, right?
The accuser isn't
working
a piece of paper. He's
okay, I hear. Also, questions whether it's really necessary. He also felt that it could be. Rav Goren also felt that it's an issue that if you're counting all the people in Israel, maybe that's like counting the entire Jewish people. Which itself makes things worse. That is what Moshe did, but you have to deal with that a little bit more nervously. So I'm not sure how he concluded things. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky also has a sefer on this issue. Also seems to, at least at that time, recommended not participating in the census. I'd be interested to know. I didn't have time to look around and see what actually happens today, when the last time Israel did a census, and how the Haredi community does want to be counted in the census. They do. They certainly want to be recognized for their numbers. How they get around this issue, Bizman Hazeh, we'll have to maybe save that for another time. But that's the issue. They could. Yeah. That's not how Israel's been collecting the census names. All right, so we'll stop here.